Can you believe it? We're back again. It's another week of Sake Bama Go Go. Show 11, if you're keeping track at home, and woo-hoo. I know you are. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Promi, here's to 11 more.
Yeah, dude, pretty
soon.
We're going
to double our output.
We've already doubled it, like, 10 times. No. But yeah, well, I'm not good at math.
No, that's how that works. Okay. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2, 4. 4 is 8. All right, we've done it like three and a half times.
3 times we've doubled our
almost
show.
Almost 4 times.
Man, the train keeps on rolling.
This is like evolution. You know, like we're single cell organisms turning into a.
And I'm honestly, with stunning here. Content like this, you know the next 22 are going to be just glorious.
Well, just like with natural selection, things will improve over time. And let's the things so. That don't will die.
Let's hope so. Yeah. I rarely ever use the weather cube anymore.
Yeah.
I actually used to use the weather cube as a segment on the show. And here it sits right there. It's a Radio Shack weather cube. Well. He has some stunning discussions about wind shear and stuff.
Wow, those were dark times for you, man.
That was last week. So yeah, what do you got going on this week? Anything, you know? I fell down the rabbit hole of a video game. I thought it was a movie, but it turned out to be a documentary series on Netflix. But then it turned out to only be good for about 3 of them.
Oh,
don't worry, I still watch the other 8. But I mean, like,
you can tell me which 7.5 to avoid now.
I will. Before that, here's music.
Laugh it up, Fuzzball.
Remember, he gives you a day. Remember, a little night. Remember, it's where to talk. My boy got superstars, and I can't get enough of his superstars. No, 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 get enough of his superstars. No, no.
Superstar, no, 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 get enough of his. Superstar, no, no, no. When I can't get enough of his. Superstar, no, 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 get enough of his. Superstar, no, no, no. We don't wanna work together. Take you deep into the Middle East. If your acting is successful, you'll be able to get us all the information we need to stop this whole thing from happening. Of course, if you're not interested, there's the door.
All right, thanks.
All right, that was the Go Devils with from their CD Super Stuff. I have to dig around to see if they have any more music from them out there. I played Super Stuff, Boys, Go Beat, and Last Time Around. I don't think it's the last time around, but you never know. You never know when it's going to come and get you. The cover of their CD is done by Rockin' Jellybean, and you know I got Rockin' Jellybean's. He did some of Petty Buka's covers. Oh, okay. Those really. That beautiful in-depth deep.
Yeah.
And I found a book over in Japan when I was over there the end of last year. It's his all about him, like how he started. It has all this artwork and everything like that. Man, I wish I could draw like that guy. It's so cool. And that book was like expensive, but I'm like, I'm buying it.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to take a look at that sometime.
Oh yeah.
I wish we lived in a culture where being called Rock and Jellybean would be accepted without getting your butt kicked. Because that's a cool name, but and I could see how that works for somebody from Japan.
Yeah.
But over here, man.
Yeah, I know, and he can. Yeah, very
Rock
interesting.
Rock and Jellybean would be. That's a cool name.
It is a very cool name. Good art.
The most fantastic weapon of all time is the flying guillotine. Few men have ever been able to operate this death-dealing device, and only one was the master of the flying guillotine. Seymour Bordy and Associates presents The Master of the Flying Guillotine, filmed in Super Cinevision, rated R. Master of the Flying Guillotine. One sure way to get ahead.
I swear I will not kill anyone.
Yeah, so basically, I started talking a little bit about that, the video game, documentaries where each one's an hour, and they start out being pretty wild. Some interesting things, like I didn't know that there was esports had, like, these selling out Madison Square Gardens for their shows and stuff like that, like esports, where those teams like in, like, I forget, not EverQuest, but
Overwatch,
League of Legends and that kind of stuff. And I didn't realize the level that that's on.
It's crazy.
They said it sold out Madison Square Gardens in like 48 seconds. I was like, what are you talking about? Like,
well, you know, that's the thing is Overwatch, you know, is a game that just, well, it's been out a couple of years now, a year and a half.
I'm out of touch with that kind of stuff, which is probably part of it.
But it's available on, like, you know, all the major consoles, except Nintendo, of course, and on PCs, and they've actually got pro leagues. I mean, they sold franchises.
That's what they were talking about. That's what these are, these pro leagues.
No, like, I mean, this is like people who were, like, NBA league owners, I mean, like, paid millions of dollars to buy into this. When I say pro league, I mean, like, it's a franchised thing. Like, there will be recorded play and, you know, live play of this the same way you would watch football. And they'll have teams of players that are compensated in that.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, but I just didn't even know anything about that world. And you go, I don't like, what? Now, I hate to sound like a old stodgy guy, because I'm even in that world. I just didn't know that was out there, you know, like, and if you don't know something, you just don't know until you find out about it. You know, I don't think I could go watch it. You know, but it's just like, wow, it's just such a different part of the video game world, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to say because I don't think it was anything that would ever interest me at all. No. But at the same time, I'm sure at some point there were people saying the same thing about football. Like, you know, pay how much to go see people play?
Your kid probably will.
Yeah.
I mean, he might go see one if they have it down in Tampa. Yeah. Oh, did you hear they're having
$50, $75 a ticket? I could just go down the street and watch the high school teams play. Why would I pay that much for that? And then I got to spend $10 for a beer? Nah. You know, that's kind of where I am with that is, like, personally, I'm like, why would I watch somebody else play that game that I don't have time to play as much as I want to play, you know?
Well, I did. Before the whole thing, though, I totally called it. I was like, well, Koreans are going to win. I don't know what you think is going to happen, but I mean, no matter what it is, the Korean team's going to win. If they can do anything, they can sit in front of computers and play video games for long periods of time.
But I'll tell you, though, that was one of the things when they announced Super Smash Brothers for the Switch. You know, there was a lot of chatter about that might actually be Nintendo's inroad into esports.
That'd be cool
with that
because there's some phenomenal players.
Because because that one hit big on the Wii. That probably was what kept the Wii going actually for the last few years, because almost every amiibo that was made for the first, I don't know, 2 or 3 years of them making amiibos were all Smash Brother amiibos. And I remember going to a couple of like Comic-Con, Maker-Con type of things in the area. And they'd have rooms set up with people, you know, playing these things on like a league, you know, like a local, you know.
Crazy.
Like, you know, with boards, you know, people were leveling, you know, working their way up the top level. And we used to work with somebody who actually played for money, believe it or not. Actually did like...
My head just turned sideways a little bit like a dog.
Like underground Super Smash Brothers gambling, if you can believe it.
I bet you I would have loved to see somebody like that. Like, yeah, I'm a really high-end player. And then...
And you go down a back alley.
And then Sarah just plugs in and just whoops her. Whoops them. And I'd be like, yeah, well, she's Japanese. So, I mean, I don't know what you're thinking.
Just think all the money you could have made off that girl.
Here's some music.
Hey, hey, it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Yeah. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Her kryptonite was that. Anyway, that was, of course, the bat. Since I gave him the intro, I was like, well, I got to play him. Nothing says like insanity like the bat. I love him. I played off of the official bat. It's called the official The Bat Club. That's the name of the CD. So that's awesome. And I played Hump, The Fly, Jailhouse Rock, and Bats L-U-V. And there's periods behind each of those, so I don't know what that means. But we'll just say love and put that little heart thing together where you take your hands, you make a little heart over your heart. That's what I think that meant. So anyway, yeah. Wow, great.
You know, marbles sure do taste good going down, but they hurt coming out.
I wouldn't know about that, but I'm guessing that's true.
Well, I don't know. You just said nothing says insanity like, and I thought that was what came into my mind. I don't
know. I thought maybe your kid had taken you on an adventure that none of us needed to know about, but I was
wrong. Your daddy have a hard candy.
I thought you had to coax him through passing a marble.
No.
Kids, everyone.
That was just a random thought that popped into my head for some reason.
Those are the best kind of random thoughts. Yeah. Weird ones. So I had a question I was thinking about when I was watching, because like I said, I watched all those documentary things, and they got kind of lame and boring. But the first couple did show a lot about, like, and I've been enamored. I read books about like the video game, like throughout history, and how it came to be what it is, that kind of thing. It's always been something I've just loved to read about. Coin op games, pinball machines, arcade video, and they always talk about the bust. When Atari became so bloated and the games were just shovelware crap, and it was the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they always kind of say, because when you look at the Atari's cocaine-fueled insanity years, when they were making $20 trillion and flying around in helicopters, it was like 2.5 years and then they were done.
Yeah.
Like, it was insanely short. But they always talk about the bust and no one cared about video games anymore. And then Nintendo showed up and they changed everything. And I always kind of wondered, if Nintendo didn't come out with the NES or the Super Famicom in Japan, would there even be video games? Like, is that something that would have never been again? You almost think no, but
I think it would have. I mean, well, okay. So the thing that's the challenge here is that we always look at history as if certain things were inevitable. Like, something was going to go down this path to get us to where we are today, and that was just the way it was happening, and a lot of history didn't really work that way. It just it seems
we talked about this and, a couple of shows
seems
ago,
obvious
yeah.
in hindsight, but I have a feeling that with the trajectory of things, that somebody was going to come along
okay.
because, you know, I remember, like, Atari still existed, and they were still putting out stuff. I remember I had the 7800, which came out at the same time as the NES. The NES just was way better.
And it would have become a niche market rather than still being on a Kmart shelf back in the 80s and 90s.
It may or may not have. It really depends. If somebody else had come out with something that hit, I mean, because if you think about it, like, the original Mario Brothers, for as fun and iconic as it is, you know, if you'd stripped away the graphics, which were better than what had come before it, the actual gameplay is simple. I mean, it's possible that another console with a similar graphic engine could have come out with something that would have hit.
But it
may not have been a Mario hit, you know, which here we are
something else.
What 30 years later, 40 years later. It may not have been like the golden classic thing we all remember, but it may have been one of hundreds of games that were popular. And so it's really hard, really, really hard to say, because it's like, is Mario responsible for Call of Duty?
Oh, Call of Duty.
Does Call of Duty today exist because of Mario? Well, possibly.
Yeah,
but
does Mario exist because of Donkey Kong and Pac-Man? And that's,
but
like,
I mean,
you know, so it's
Call
like,
of Duty might have happened without Mario. Halo might have happened without Mario, because there's no real lineage there that connects them that says, oh, they built to this, and then they went to this, and then they came to Call of Duty.
Right.
Because it's a completely different direction in every conceivable way from what that originally was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we definitely wouldn't have gotten things like Mario Kart, you know, karting in general probably would never have been a thing, because, you know,
that was
everybody
thing,
with realistic race cars and stuff. I mean,
I mean, there's
definitely,
and I'm not approaching this from a Nintendo fanboy thing. I always say I love Nintendo, and that's true. But I mean, just in general, it was one of those things where I was like, I wonder if it would have been, or where, how it would have been, how would evolution what would have happened if there wouldn't have been a Nintendo or a Sega kind of stepping up and saying, no, we're...
Well, there's your thing, though. You said a Nintendo or a Sega. That's a very good point, which is that Sega existed at that point, too.
And not NES. That came after. They challenged them, yeah. I might be wrong.
I don't know.
I thought... I thought
the original...
Because it would have been
what the
easy.
Original Sega system was. I thought they were the same generation.
It would have been easy for Nintendo to go, nah. And then after seeing the bust of Atari, and then everyone went, what, those things? Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, you almost can't even conceive of it. I don't think it would have been that way. It just would have been, maybe the progress would have been a decade later or something like that. But it just is some weird thing that popped into my head. I was like, I don't know. I don't think it would have killed video games. But maybe stunted its growth for a while or something.
It definitely could have set it back. I don't think it would have killed it because computer games were popular before
that's
that, and they
true.
Continued to be popular. The thing that consoles did was they made a dedicated system that worked consistently, right? And affordable.
Affordable, all your kids can play.
Affordable, simple. You know, and you didn't have to put in a disc and type in code and deal with something that crashed half the time.
Mom and dad can just sit there and get back and get drunk while their kids are just being entertained by a video game.
So I think there would have been more, but it very well may have been a much slower moving thing.
Yeah.
And I got more to talk about with Atari when we come back.
Okay, cool. Well, here's music, not Atari.
Hello.
Hey, Dante, is Alex there?
Hold on. Phone's for you. I think it's the devil.
I don't know how to compete. Driving home until I'm ready. be careful what you shoot at. Most things in here don't react too well to bullets.
Oh my gosh, we're back. That was Red Bacteria Vacuum. I was listening to them at work, and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta play some of them. I played Power, Envy, and the Big Moon. That's when you pull down your pants and show your butt to somebody. It's funny. I have I listen to music a lot on my, just on a random, you know, on my phone. And every now and then, a few songs I swear I have in there just to, like, as a joke. Because I'll be listening to some kind of crazy, loud, aggressive music. And then Hulkster and the Wrestling Boot Boy Band comes on. And he's talking about a Hulkster maniac in heaven. And you're like, wow, it's so great and funny and cheeseball. And that's my life in a microcosm. You had something to say about Atari. What was Atari's thing?
Oh, I was going to say, so, you know, they've got a new console coming out.
Yeah, like the Atari box. I'm on their subscriber page.
And it's I'm on some kind of an email list where they won't ever leave me alone.
It's beautiful.
But, yeah, it's kind of got a cool sort of retro look to it. And
styling's cool, you know.
But the thing about it is that it's basically launching with, like, their library.
I know, and I'm like, wait, what are we doing here?
Adventure was cool for its time. Yeah. I collected every one of the action figures, all six colors of the block.
Yeah.
Pitfall was fun, and there were definitely, you know, Space Invaders was all fun. Yeah,
Barnstormer, Frogger, there was
some.
Yeah,
these
were
all games that were great for their time, but today they're not.
E.T.
Like, oh god. Yeah, funny.
Superman.
Funny, you know, another classic. Funny you should mention E.T. I actually played E.T. quite a bit as a young child.
I had it.
I never got anywhere in the game, and I didn't. It wasn't until many years later I learned nobody else on Earth ever did either, and that's why the game sucked, because it was broken. I always just assumed there was something I wasn't understanding.
Yeah.
And apparently I was, which was the need for money from Atari, which caused them to push out a game that was basically unplayable.
They were all on coke. Anyway.
But the thing is when you're six, you don't realize why things are happening. You keep falling in a ditch, and you keep doing the head-raising thing and bringing a flower back to life, and nothing seems to do anything.
So, I mean, what are you thinking about this Atari box, though? 'Cause,
you know, here's the thing about it, is I understand what's going on with Atari, which is they're looking at, like, things like the NES Mini and the Super NES Mini, and they're like, we got to get in on this.
Yeah.
But, and the thing is, I was talking, you know, we were talking about, like, nostalgia with Nintendo, and, you know, if that was the reason why we still have games today and everything, and, you know, off-air I mentioned, you know, like, how you and I both have Atari shirts and stuff, like, we're still into it, and what
Street
was it
cred.
You said? Street cred.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much even just that, like, in the, oh, I'll look cool in this shirt.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the thing about it is, we do have fond memories of it.
I loved it, but it's one that you don't go back to.
It's like wearing a Goonies shirt now. You know, exactly. Like, this, because it brings back wonderful memories, it's not something you want to revisit because you'd like to keep those memories wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the difference between Atari and Nintendo, is that, you know, Nintendo took the original Mario Brothers and then the Super Mario Brothers, and they found ways of evolving those characters
and
evolving
playable.
The gameplay.
It's
playable.
It's, you know.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that Super Mario, the original Super Mario Brothers 1 is probably the least played Mario game out today.
But that pipe one?
Currently. Well, no, I mean just one.
Oh,
it's probably the least.
3 is the one everyone thinks about.
3 is the one that, yeah, was kind of the one, like, where people opened up their eyes. Actually, 2 might be the least played. Even though I love that game, I still think
Doki
that one
Doki
was great.
Panic.
Yeah. I mean, finding out that they actually just tore out the IP from another game entirely and stuck Mario in there because they thought the real Super Mario Brothers 2 was going to be too challenging.
So here's the question for you, because I'm on the sheet. I'm apt to break to these kind of pressures. Do you think you're going to buy it?
Probably not. Only because I have too many consoles right now.
I know.
Like, no, you say that, but, like, okay, I've got an Xbox 360. I have an Xbox One. I have a PlayStation 3. I have a PlayStation 4. I have PlayStation 4 VR. I've got I've got I've got a Switch. I've got a Super NES. I have a Super NES Classic. I mean, I have an NES Classic. I don't have more any places left in my home to plug these things into. And I don't really have time to even play these games for the most part, which is why it's insane that I have them. I mean, I basically bought the Xbox One S so that I could play Cuphead.
Yeah.
I I basically bought that for one game, and I have more on it than that, but that was the driving force, was an indie downloadable game. Like, I don't have, I barely have time to play any of what I got. So looking at something like that and going, you know what this living room needs is something that's going to trip my
I guarantee
circuit breaker.
I'm going to buy the stupid thing. I don't know why.
But
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, and it's going to be Linux based, and there's going to be indie games and stuff for it. It could end up being cool. I have a feeling that, as with everything else Atari has tried console wise in the last 20 years, it'll be a novelty footnote on a Wikipedia page.
hopefully, it has like the Tempest, and there was the 5200 had a couple decent games on it. It was just the controller that was god awful. And I haven't seen any controllers for this thing yet either, so I'm like, no, we'll see.
Well, you know, I got the last email they sent out teased something about going to the page to see the classic controller option as well as the new gamepad or whatever, and it didn't show anything on the page when I got there.
That's Atari for you.
But, you know, the other thing that's weird about Atari is they own the publishing rights to a franchise that I used to love called Roller Coaster Tycoon. I played that thing so much in my young adult life.
I remember
an embarrassingly large amount of time of my, and I can't even really call this wasted youth because I was in my 20s playing this thing. And there was Roller Coaster 1, and then there was Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, and then there were add-on packs to 2, and then they came up with Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, which was when they tried to actually implement 3D physics and stuff, and it was awful. But,
yeah, it was. I remember that.
But
so, I don't know.
Atari owns the rights to it, and they are trying to crowdfund the development of a new version of this game. And the way it works is, like, you buy in, and you'll get, like, profit sharing off of the game for, like, the first year of sales. And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, like, Atari, you are a developer. You actually are a real company. You're not some dude in a garage. I mean, in the Give Us Money video, they're walking around the studio where these guys are working, and it looks better than where I work. And it's like, you're trying to get $50 out of me to help build this game? Come on, dude. Pony up.
I wonder if it could get some crowd. I bet you somebody rich is going to, like, buy it all in hopes that they get, like, rich off of it.
But it's just weird. Like, between things like that and these consoles, it's like, wow, they're really, I don't know.
They are a strange company. All right. Well, that's it for this week. I'm going to play us out of here with, we all know where this is going. 5678. Thanks for listening. My name is Matt, with me as always.
Pro me.
And why don't we woohoo on out?
Bring out your date!